This is the Unconquered Podcast. Unbiased, unrivaled, and unconquered coverage and analysis of Florida State football.
At Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
We're back to some basics.
Consistency in what we're doing.
Guys getting more banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations. Making progress.
You have to have success so you know something, I can really do this.
This is the Unconquered Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Staples. Today on the podcast, we'll be joined by Wayne McGahee, the NoleDigest.com baseball guru. Wayne's going to take us through the baseball regular season, wrap that, and then tell us what we can expect moving forward into the ACCs, regionals, and super regionals. So, Wayne, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jason.
So, obviously, the talk for today is baseball, and the baseball team is going to be headed to the ACC tournament here upcoming and has finished a generally successful regular season. The 37th straight highly successful regular season, really. Just a remarkable run of consistency. At this point, Florida State fans are, I think, a little spoiled about regular season success and are ready to maybe trade a good regular season or two for a truly successful postseason and a national title. That's always the real question once we get to this part of the year is how does Florida State look moving forward? So why don't you summarize a little bit of where about how Florida State sort of wrapped the season, and then we can get into talking about what most Florida State fans really care about when it comes to baseball.
Well, Florida State ended the season on an 8-3 run in the month of May. They both losses, both weekend losses, came on Sundays, which, as we know, Florida State's having a little bit of difficulty finding that third pitcher after, you know, two starters went down. The other one was a midweek game that Florida State threw six or seven pitchers, and it really didn't mean that much. Other than that, the team's hitting well. Other than on Sundays, they are pitching well in spot situations. So, you know, things are looking fairly good for a team that's missing two starters on the pitching staff right now.
Yeah, that is the big concern at the moment. Moving into the ACC tournament is obviously with Holtman and Liebrandt still on the mend. The real concern is, I mean, I don't think there's a team in the country that could lose two of its starters, let alone either of those guys could have been, you know, an ace on most staffs. To lose, you know, two of their top guys on the starting staff and really have a chance to compete beyond that. It's been really impressive to watch Florida State continue to actually compete and continue to win series and continue to have success despite that. But I mean, no, without a doubt, nobody's going to expect a realistic fan is not going to expect Florida State to be able to succeed in the postseason against, you know, you're going to have to eventually beat a Virginia. You're going to eventually have to, you know, to beat a South Carolina or somebody with, you know, with pitching. And so those guys have to get back if Florida State's going to be successful. Where does Florida State stand? Where do those guys stand right now as we're moving into the ACC tournament?
Martin was very, he was very hopeful that Holtman would be able to come back this week, pitch some relief. I talked to the Florida State SID, Jason Letermy, the other day, and he told me that Holtman had thrown this past week, and he was getting better. He was getting closer. Martin also said at the post game on Saturday, or on Friday, that Holtman could have been available if he was able to go, if he was feeling better. So he's real close. As for Liebrandt, it's still up in the air. He still feels pain in his shin when he pushes off from where he took the line drive. So
yeah, and actually, why don't we recap exactly what the injuries were for each guy, and then we can move from there too as well.
Okay, the Holtman injury was a forearm injury. He was throwing. He was throwing against North Carolina. No, I'm sorry. He was throwing against Virginia.
Yeah, that's right. Virginia.
He was throwing against Virginia on on Sunday, and he threw a pitch, and then he just immediately grabbed it. And everybody, I mean, I was sitting in the press box, and everybody just looks around, you know, because that's where he was grabbing his arm. It looked like Tommy John, like it looked like an elbow injury. But came back that it was just a forearm strain, that he was going to be fine, and he would come back to pitch this season sometime. That's what they said. It's been almost it's been 3 weeks. He's still not back, but, you know, he's getting better. As for Liebrandt, Liebrandt hasn't pitched in almost 2 months now because, funnily enough, Peter Miller, another guy who's been a starting pitcher for Florida State at times, was hitting batting practice and hit a line drive off of Liebrandt's shin. When I was talking to the Florida State SID, he was talking about how it's just been a freak injury. It would have been better if he had broken it. He would have been back by now. Because the way that it just – his there's just random pain. Like they've had double and they've been to 2 to 3 different doctors to get another opinion, and they can't figure out what exactly is going wrong, because sometimes when he's pushing off the mound, it hurts, and then sometimes it doesn't. So they can't really get a feel. You know, they try, you know, one day he's not hurting at all, and their signs are promising, and then the next day he comes out and he's in a lot of pain. So that's where things stand right now.
Yeah, and I mean, he'd already had a left ankle injury, which, you know, kept him out last year. And so, you know, he's been a little bit snake bitten here. But, you know, the oddity here is, again, that, I mean, it really just boils down to having pain just pushing off the mound, as I understand.
Yep, that's correct. If you can't push off the mound, you can't pitch. That's the basic rules.
Yeah, I mean, it's where all your power comes from. But yeah, I mean, this is you know, I think Liebrandt really is one of the most going into the year, he's one of the most important players on this team. Now, you know, and I think that's still the case going forward. The real question is, you know, is this a situation where, let's say he ends up being ruled out for the ACCs, is this a situation where, let's say he, you know, he can come back for a little bit of work in the regionals or something like that? You know, is he going to be able to get back in time to be able to get back into shape to be a success, to be successful in a super regional situation, or, you know, or if he has to wait even longer? Is it, you know, the difficulty is, if you're Mike Martin, do you trust a guy who hasn't pitched for, you know, 7, 8 weeks, 9 weeks, to actually go in and be an ace, to be a guy that you can lean on in a super regional situation or in a College World Series situation? I mean, I think that's the point we're coming to now.
It's absolutely, I mean, it's the biggest question that's facing Florida State this year. Florida State's doing an excellent job hitting-wise, fielding-wise. I mean, they're doing an excellent job. The first two starters, Compton is not a guy who's going to strike out, you know, 100 people a season. But he's, you know, he goes out and he gets ground balls, he gets fly balls, he's a contact pitcher. Weaver's a guy that's going to go out there and get you a bunch of strikeouts. But after that, you know, there's really, you know, we're all waiting to see. And, you know, who are they going to throw on day three of, like, say, the upcoming ACC tournament? It's up in the air. You know, you could see Billy Strode, who did not pitch this weekend, which is why I'm expecting him to start game one of the ACC tournament. But, you know, it all comes back to, will those two be able to get in the groove? And if Holtman comes back, that gives you a little leeway for Liebrandt. If Holtman can come back and get some relief work in, because that's actually where he started the year in the bullpen, if he can come back and get some relief work in the ACC tournament, he might be able to start a Sunday game in the regional. As for the super regional, if Holtman is able to go this week and progress, he would get the start in the super regional on Sunday, and you wouldn't have a need for Liebrandt, which would give him time to, you know, get ready for the College World Series, which you would bring him back in bullpen sessions, let him throw a little bit, and then let him throw in the, like, in relief in games, just to get him in the situation of pitching again. That's, I mean, but it's all contingent with him coming back.
Yeah. And that's, you know, again, the Liebrandt is going to be, you know, If he does get back and he gets back in anything close to his normal form, then, you know, You're looking at one of the top pitchers in the country. And, you know, without him, the staff is significantly weaker. I will say, you know, Mike Compton has really stepped up the last five weeks or so, really, since that Wake Forest series. He's just been a different pitcher. And, you know, I got to talk to him a little bit after the North Carolina series. And you know, he was talking about how, you know, he's prior to that Wake Forest series, he was really trying to pitch. He's trying to make the perfect pitch, trying to strike guys out, trying to make sure that, you know, that he wasn't going to get shelled, and wasn't really trusting his stuff. And finally, you know, Mike Bell just sat down with him and talked with him and said, listen, you know, you've got to just trust what you've got. You've got to trust the defense behind you and just, you know, be what you are and, you know, don't get too cute with it and just commit to it. And he said, since he's just committed to being, to, you know, trusting his stuff and being a ground ball pitcher and trusting the defense, things really opened up for him. And that's huge, you know, moving forward. If you can add a Holtmann, and especially if you can add a Liebrandt to that rotation, if you've got a Mike Compton as your number three, or especially as your number four guy, then you're looking at as deep a staff as anybody has in the country. But, you know, that's where if he's your number two guy, I'm not sure that you can really I'm not sure you can necessarily make it out of a super regional if that's your number two guy and you don't have depth beyond that. And I think we've seen from the midweek starts and from some of the recent Sunday starts that you know, Peter Miller is just not ready to be that guy. And really, there's nobody else on the staff, as far as I'm concerned, that's really ready to be a weekend guy coming into this part of the year. I mean, there's a guy, you know, some of these guys can give you an inning here or there, but they're just not going to be good for more than that at this point. So, I mean, I think that really is what it boils down to moving forward. At the same point, you know, the other concern that I've seen over the last few weeks is that, you know, Florida State's had some trouble, you know, as well as they've hit the ball at the plate, they've had some trouble, with runners in scoring position. They've stranded an awful lot of runners the last few series. And, you know, you just got to wonder exactly when that's going to break through as well.
You know, that's a good, you know, that's something that you need to look at, but Florida State in the past, eight games before yesterday, I'd counted this up, had scored 52 runs in eight games, which, you know, that's good for almost 6.5 runs a game.
That's good enough run support.
That's good enough to get it done. They put up 5 yesterday in a loss. They put up 4 in a loss at Chapel Hill. In the last loss against Virginia, they put up 3. And, you know, 3 is the bare minimum to get a win. I don't normally get you to extra innings, you know, with this staff. But as you were talking about Mike Compton, and Compton's, you know, he's got great numbers right now. He's 7-1 on the season. You know, he has 47 strikeouts, which, you know, it's not that great, but he's given up less, half the number of home runs that Weaver has. So he's pitching to contact and he's getting him and he's keeping the ball in the ballpark, which is, you know, the main goal. But,
and that's a whole lot easier with these new bats. This era is, boy, the pendulum has sure swung the other direction. That's wow.
Yeah. From the 1999 season when Marshall McDougal hit six home runs in one game.
Yeah, six home runs against Maryland, exactly. So, you know, it's a very, very different game. I think they need to find a little bit of a happy medium. There have been some balls that have been hit that, you know, they should be no doubters, and they're not even hitting the warning track. But that's, you know, I digress. At any rate, let's think about, you know, sort of where Florida State sits on, you know, otherwise, you know, sort of moving into the ACC tournament. You know, we've talked about the pitching situation. We've talked about, you know, the injury situation. But at the same point, you know, Florida State does move into the ACC tournament, you know, 8-3 in the last month, and needing to, you know, just sort of continue to gain some momentum moving into the regional situation. And also, you know, they've got to make sure that they earn a national seed moving forward. So where exactly does Florida State sit, from what you've seen in terms of, you know, what they need to do in the ACC tournament? What do you expect them to do in the ACC tournament? And then, you know, sort of what do you think is going to ultimately be the most likely, seeding and situation for Florida State? And who might they even get in the regional? I guess we'll do all of those one at a time.
All right. Well, first off, I'd like to preface this saying that Florida State is right now in the top two or three, is either second or third in the RPI in both major college baseball RPIs. Another stat is that no team with a top three RPI has ever not been given a national seed. So Florida State's in great shape for getting a national seed right now. It's actually looking like the ACC will get three national seeds despite the conference having a down year. With Virginia, who's the number one team in the country, who's actually the number three seed in the ACC.
Go figure.
Yeah, Florida State, who's the number two seed in the ACC tournament, is the number three or four team in the country, depending on which ranking you're using. And Miami, who's actually ranked 14th, is also looking at a national seed because they went 24-6 in the ACC.
Yeah, they really hit their stride the last two-thirds of the season, no doubt, once they got to conference play.
Yep, they did what they were supposed to. They avoided Florida State in conference, although they did play earlier in the season. It was an out-of-conference series, and Florida State took 2 of 3. They lost to Virginia 2 of 3, but they beat everybody else that they were supposed to. So that ended up netting them the number one seed and a much easier side of the tournament. Miami gets Duke, Clemson, and Wake Forest and Georgia Tech on their side of the bracket, while Pool B has Florida State, Virginia, Maryland, North Carolina, and North Carolina State.
Yeah, and this is a situation where as far as I can tell, you know, it's best for Florida State. You know, sometimes, you know, you're in a position where, you know, it's not going to be best for you to necessarily play the best in your tournament situation because you may want some rest and all that. You know, I think this is not one of those situations for Florida State where, you know, I think given the pitching situation, they're going to want to win as many games as they can in the ACC tournament, even if they don't necessarily need that. First of all, how many games are they going to need to get to make sure that they don't drop in the RPI, to make sure that they retain their positioning for a national seed? And then, you know, sort of, I'm guessing you agree about needing to make sure that they get more and more reps for their pitchers beyond Weaver, to make sure that they're getting some potential reps for Holtman and some of the others that may need to be called on as we get a little further in.
Oh, absolutely. I would expect if for Florida State to cement themselves as a national seed, they need to not go over. They need to win at least one game. If they win one game, they're gonna be a national seed. Now, if they win all three of the games and win the ACC, you could be looking at the number one overall seed. That's how close it is. A lot of people have Virginia there, but if Florida State beats Virginia and then, say, beats Miami in the ACC championship game, you could be looking at the number one overall seed. Now, this is incredible for a team that has lost two starting pitchers to have a chance at the number one overall seed. The only team in college baseball that could withstand two starting pitchers going out and still being in the situation besides Florida State is Virginia.
Yeah, Virginia's staff is pretty deep.
Yeah, Virginia's staff's incredible. They just don't hit the baseball as well as Florida State does. That's their shortcoming. But they pitch, you know, they pitch out of their minds.
Now, you know, the other thing that I guess to wonder here is given the tournament format, who's Florida State going to trot out there for game one on Wednesday evening against either North Carolina or North Carolina State? Are we going to see Weaver as the first game, or are we going to see them take a stab at maybe starting somebody else?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say you will see Billy Strode start on Wednesday. You will see Strode start on Wednesday. You will see Compton start on Friday, and you will see Weaver start on Saturday, because you would put Compton up against – let's see. I'm sorry. I had it right here. There it is. You would put Compton up against Maryland, and then you'd put – Weaver up against Virginia.
Moving forward then, we can look at Florida State yet again hosting another regional at Dick Houser. And hopefully having Holtman back healthy for the second starter, second or third starter, probably the third starter there. And we'll see what transpires as far as Lee Brandt's going. So you have anything more, for, the Florida State baseball fans who are wondering exactly what's going on in the program, to close us out?
Well, there's just a few things that I would like to mention. First thing is, let's talk about DJ Stewart a little bit. I mean, he's only a sophomore. He has to come back to play at Florida State again next year. He's batting .362 with 7 home runs. He's slugging almost .600, and he has an on-base percentage of over .475. It's just incredible, especially with the new bats. I mean, he's just – Florida State fans are going to enjoy having him for another year.
Yeah, somebody's going to enjoy having him at a very high level in a couple years.
Absolutely.
Bat's going to play.
The other thing is that, you know, we keep talking about how Florida State hasn't been able to find their third starter now that the two starters have gone out. Florida State's thrown 10 starting pitchers this season.
That's an insane number. It really is.
It is, considering that you only have 15 pitchers on staff. 10 of them have got to start.
Yeah. And one of your best pitchers, you know, one of the best pitchers on the roster, Winston, hasn't started. You know, he hasn't gotten a start. So, I mean,
neither has Gage Smith.
Yeah, that's true. So, you know, your two ace relievers have not started. And so that out of 13 pitchers, you've started 10. It's insane. So, anything else beyond singing the praises of Stewart and talking about that yet more about the about Florida State's unusual pitching session or situation as we move on, as we move out?
I think that's it. You know, we're still waiting to see, you know, where everybody's going to line up for the regionals. I would expect Mercer. Like teams close to the state of Florida, I would expect teams close to the state of Florida in the regional. So Mercer, Alabama, teams like that. You could see those be the 2 and 3 seeds. Now for the 4 seeds, you'll probably get, you know, just a team that won their conference, but not very, you know, not expected to do well.
Yep.
That would be my guess. And as for who we're going to get paired with for the Super Regional, I've seen LSU, South Carolina. I've even seen Vanderbilt, but I really, really doubt that because Vanderbilt's got an outside chance at a national seed. Yeah, top 8 seed. So I would expect to either see South Carolina or LSU, maybe even Ole Miss if they don't get a national seed. So
lots to look forward to. Wayne, thanks for joining us and dropping some baseball wisdom.
Thanks.
On behalf of Wayne and the rest of the Noel Digest crew, I'm Jason Staples. This has been the Unconquered Podcast. Thanks for joining us. I made this.